자, 어디 이렇게 돼.
예?
아니요. Well, it looks like it has dried up. There's no Dhamma anymore. We go out in the world and we lose all the Dhamma. We get excited about the things that we see there, diving. When we come back, it takes us days to cool down the heart that was heated up in the fire of the senses when we went back to the world. But it's just like being on the beach when we are lying down in the sun. It gets so hot that we jump into the cold water, and until we are cooled off, we want to go back into the sun. So when we come here to this monastery and our heart is cooled off, we want to go back into the fire of the world. And the fire of the senses, just to taste them for a while, and then once it gets too hot, then we come back. Heating ourselves up, cooling ourselves down, heating ourselves up, cooling ourselves down. And that, what we call fun. Isn't it? When we go to the beach, especially the Western Australia, because they come from cold countries. And they lie four legs apart in the sun, heat themselves up, burn themselves up until they can't bear the pain of it. And then they jump into the cold water. Once they're cool enough or cool down, they go back into the sun, heat themselves up until they can't bear the pain, and then they jump back into the cold water. At the end of the day, they thought that was a very good day. We had lots of fun. And that is the principle, how it works. It doesn't matter if it's the sun that heats us up, or if it's our greed that heats us up. Once we satisfy the greed, the fire disappears for a moment until it comes back out in another way. It comes back out in either two forms, in the form of greed, the fire of greed or lust, or the fire of hate. And once we get rid of the greed, that means once we fulfill our wishes, if we can, then the greed subsides for a moment and gives us a feeling of coolness. And that's why we think that way it works. So we just need to fulfill constantly our greed, and with anger we just let it out on the other person. Hit him if it's needed, and then our anger is gone. And that's why the world thinks that is exactly the way how we should be. Because we feel the moment we let off our anger on the other person, we feel that the anger is gone and then we are satisfied. And it's the same thing with greed. The moment we fulfill our greed, we feel satisfied. And it is nothing else than this example of burning up ourselves on the beach, you know, and getting into the cold bucket of water. Or getting into the cold sea. or ocean, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, or lake. Mm-hmm. And then going back into, because then, you know, after a while we feel cold, and going back into the sea. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't that, you know, really desire? And with lust or sensual desires or sexual desires, it's just the same thing. We heat ourselves up until we can't hold it anymore. And then we find the other sex, you know, and we leave it if we can. If we can't, well, then we are really into trouble. And that's why all the sorrow and all the pain is in there in this world, because we are acting on this principle. But we have not yet understood it. We have not yet seen it. Probably because nobody ever pointed it out to us. Now when we look at it, you know, maybe we can see it. And it is not only with these things, huh? It is with everything that we do in our life. It doesn't matter what. Huh? We find rectification for everything. We find justification for whatever we do. We never, ever get the idea or come to our senses. Maybe this justification is not correct. Maybe it just works in just the same way as I just explained when it works with the beach. Heating ourselves up and getting the cold water to cool ourselves down. And it's just the same thing when we come here and look for the Dhamma. Maybe we can stay here for 1 month or maybe for 2 months and cool down enough. And then we feel so cold that we have to go back into the fire of the senses. Back into the world where we can experience it, the fire of the senses. Maybe just for half a day, maybe for a day, maybe for a week, maybe for a month, maybe for a year. We are cooling so much down when we are doing the practice, so that we're getting bored after a while. So that we need to heat up our senses, that we need to fulfill. Now the only question is, are we going to stop? Do we want to stop? And when are we going to stop? When are we going to stop this roller coaster of life? Is it real? Now when you look at it in this way, heating ourselves up, cooling ourselves down. The changes are extreme. Mm-hmm. The changes of the sun burning down on our skin and the cold water, you know, cooling us down are extreme. Is that what we want? Well, if that is what you want, you know, then just go ahead, you know, and have a lot of fun. I don't mind. Whatever people think, you know, it's fun. I don't mind, you know. If they want to do it, you know, let's go. Let's do it. But it's nothing for me. And I just mentioned, you know, that you can reflect on what you're doing with your life. And I just give you the extremes, you know, so that you can understand the principle. But it works with whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, whatever you memorize. You memorize for your pleasure. Or you memorize for heating yourselves up. You memorize your last partner, you know, having sex with your last partner, you know, heating yourself up. You know, that was lovely, I want it again. And then you're in trouble because your partner has gone or, you know, is not here or has died or whatever. And you didn't see that you use this memory to heat yourself up. You didn't see that you used the memory or the thought to burn your own heart. How do you see? We constantly do it. Heating ourselves up is not only the extreme forms of greed or lust or hate. It's just, you know, going back in our memory. Or thinking about this, or thinking about that. That creates worries, you know, when we think about the future and then we think we don't have any money, you know, that creates a lot of worries. Or when we think about, you know, going back in our hometown and meeting these people, then we are really afraid of them. So that creates a lot of worries. So not only hate and greed, you know, is burning us up, you know, worries and fear and things like that are burning us up. Whatever comes into the senses burns up. And the problem is we all let it in. We do not guard our doors of the senses very well, or well enough, so that they come in, you know, and burn us up. And then we need, of course, the way, you know, to cool down the heart. But we always forget, you know, we always think, you know, who was that, you know, who did that to me? We. There's no question. It's not another person, it's not another situation who did that unto us, you know, it's we. Because we invited them in. So who is to blame?
We.
We are the only ones who we can blame ourselves, no? We cannot blame the situation. We can blame ourselves, you know, letting these thoughts of worries, these thoughts of fear, these thoughts of lust, these thoughts of greed and hate come into our mind. We could have guarded them off. We could have shown them the door. Oh, isn't it? If somebody knocks on our door, you know, and we don't like him to come in, we just don't open the door. If you're afraid of him, we don't open the door. If we don't like him to come in, we don't open the door. If we like him to come in, we can open the door. If we like, you know, thoughts of pleasantness coming in, you know, we can open the door. If we want to have feelings of gratitude, or feelings of respect, or feelings of generosity, we can invite them in. They'll never make havoc of our heart. But normally we don't. We just do the opposite. We invite everybody in, you know, that is ruining our heart. No matter what. Just come in, you know. I'm just a masochist. Huh? I want to be punished all my life. Huh? So we don't have to look down on masochists. Huh? We are the ones, you know, who constantly punish ourselves. We are the ones who constantly invite these things in. We don't show them the door. We don't guard our senses well enough. And it doesn't mean, you know, of course it is easier to guard our senses here in the monastery than to guard our senses out in the world. Of course it is easier. It's easier to learn, it is easier to train. But when we are in the world, you know, we don't guard our senses. When we are here, we don't guard our senses. Or do you guard your senses when you take in food or when you see something in at the tea time? There are some sweets. I want that. I need them. And then somebody else takes it just in front of our nose. Oh, wonderful. How can he do that? Eh? He's really greedy. Actually, we were greedy. We wanted them. Eh? He might not even wanted them. You know, he just took them, eh? just by chance. And the same thing with the food. Eh? Why does he take this kind of food? I wanted to have it. I. That is the one principle that brings all the dukkha. Just be satisfied with whatever has happened. Just be satisfied with whatever is given to us. Just be satisfied with whatever is left over. All of us, when we go and have our food, you know, everybody of us, you know, get full. One way or the other. You know, training to eat, you know, to the full amount, you know, you're training to eat, you know, just to half a month. Or 70%. Or 30%. You know, whatever helps our meditation, whatever helps us, you know, not to get sleepy or doze off. Because digesting food, all the energy goes to the stomach. It doesn't go to the buddha. Certainly it doesn't. And it doesn't go to our awareness. It just goes to our kilesas that think, oh, now it's time to sleep. So we follow. And we sleep. And then when we wake up, you know, we are dissatisfied, then we want something else to eat or drink or whatever. Following the kilesas is always, you know, makes us always dissatisfied. Following the Dhamma always leads to satisfaction. Fighting the kilesas leads to satisfaction. Even if you don't, if you can't beat them for the moment. But we feel, you know, we have put some effort in it, you know, and that makes us happy. No matter, you know. Today we put some effort in, tomorrow we put some effort in, and one day sooner or later, you know, we will be able to fight. So do we understand now the principle of heating ourselves up, of burning our heart, be it with small things, or be it with larger things. And if we are more conscious of our doing, the more we see our rectification or justification for what we are doing. Can't we? Now, come on, you know, let's question us our justification. Whatever I have to justify, you know, there's something wrong. Whatever I have to defend, you know, there's something wrong. Let's see what is wrong. Let's go beyond the stage, you know, and see what is behind that stage. The stage is pretty clear and pretty obvious, huh? And then it's pretty logical. We see things, we interpret things, you know, and we justify them. So let's go behind the stage. You know, why do I need any justification? That means, you know, there's something wrong with what I want to do. There's something wrong with what I want to memorize. There's something wrong with what I want to think, isn't there? Isn't it interesting? So have you ever looked at it in this way? It's a path, it's a way, you know, to investigate. It's a way to get rid of our coarse defilement. You know, if somebody says something to us, we defend ourselves. No, we are not the way you see me. I'm certainly not the way that you see me, especially if it's negative. But if he says something positive, yes, I am this way. Yeah, wonderful. Isn't it great? Blame, praise and blame. Makes the world go round, huh? Makes us feel good and makes us feel completely terrible. And we go into it, we buy it. We buy it, actually. A person comes to us and it says something, you know, we buy it. We take it for granted that he is right. Isn't that great? You conceited asshole, huh? Somebody said that to me a few years ago. I was surprised hearing that. And then I analyzed it, huh? Asshole. Yes, I have an asshole. So, okay, that's fine. Conceited. Yes, I am conceited. Okay. So it's fine. But that wasn't his intention. His intention was to put blame on me. And the way he sees me is the way he sees me. I cannot change it. If he wants to see me this way, then, you know, whatever. I do understand, you know, when I did the reflection about the conceit, you know, I do understand why he thinks that. It's not, you know, when I'm really conceited, I'm conceited about my knowledge. The knowledge that I gain through thinking or through reading books. But what I say is, you know, from experience. And it comes out pretty clear, doesn't it? So everybody, you know, who thinks, you know, he's talking so righteous, he must be conceited. So he must think this way. That is the world, that is the way the world thinks. So I cannot blame him for that. How can I? I just was surprised. But of course we do not listen. When we hear this word, you know, we feel the arrow, you know, poking our heart, you know, and then we immediately react. And this reaction has nothing to do with whatever he said. It's going, you know, the arrow of praise, you know, instantly gets diffused in our heart, or the arrow of blame instantly gets diffused in our heart, you know, and spoils the heart. Spoils it either, you know, feeling good or feeling bad. Instead of being mindful of what is happening, being mindful, you know, immediately when he says, you know, analyze. Oh, that's so. Huh? Okay. And this will happen to us all the time. There's no person, you know, who receives only praise, and there's no person who receives only blame. It doesn't matter, you know, to a person who has developed himself good enough, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody says something in praise of him or something says something in blame of him. The example of the Lord Buddha is a very good one. There's a Brahmin coming and being very angry at the Lord Buddha, shouting at him. And it was the Lord Buddha. So then the Lord Buddha turned it around and said, Brahmin, what do you think, you know, if you give a per- if you give a person a present, but the person will not, that person will not accept your present. Whose present is it then? Oh Lord, it is of course my present. So, if you give somebody, if you pour out anger on somebody, but that person doesn't accept your anger, whose anger is it then? That was the way of the Lord Buddha teaching the people. If we are meditators or if we are practitioners who practice well enough, then we don't need to accept the anger of other people. Or we do not need to accept the praise of other people. Because if we accept it, we are the owner of the present. And actually he has fulfilled his purpose. The person who comes angry at the Lord Buddha shouts at him, and the Lord Buddha gets angry as well, or takes this, then that person actually has succeeded in its purpose, giving that present to him. And he has accepted it. But the Lord Buddha didn't accept it. And don't think, the Lord Buddha was the Lord Buddha who discovered the Four Noble Truths. It doesn't mean he didn't have any enemies. He had quite a few enemies. The more you are at the top, the more enemies you have. The more you are sticking out, the more enemies you will have. And that happens to everyone. If I go just in practice, somewhere in a cave, I will have very few enemies. But if I say something, if I teach people, of course, then I will have a lot of enemies. Because people will not like what I say. Some people will like what I say. Some people think I'm a holy person, some people think I'm an asshole. But that is the meaning of the people. That is what people think. What has it to do with me? I can understand their way of thinking because I thought before that the same way. And actually, when we say something like that, we have a purpose, we have an intention in that. So either I want to praise this person, making him feel good, or I want to blame this person, to make him feel bad. And when that person said that to me, he wanted to make me feel really down. But I just didn't take his present for him. I just analyzed it and said, oh, that's interesting. And actually, it does show us. A person who is really aware and does not react, it shows us. The moment a person says something, the moment a person does something, it shows us their heart, not our heart. The moment when we go, just thinking of taking a shot, taking a photograph of a person. You want to have a steady shot. Now, this person, says something praise, so you're up, And then he says something blameful, you're down. Do you get a steady shot at that person? No. All the images that you get of this person are completely blurred. But if you're not lifted up by the blame, by the praise, or if you're not put down by the blame, you get a very, very clear shot of that person's heart. Extremely clear, you know exactly. This is as you read in an open book. You read his intentions, you read everything, and the more he says, the more you understand that person. But because we are pulled up, and that is our normal reaction, we are pulled up by praise and we are pulled down by blame. That's why we never ever be able to do that. We always get a blurred image. We neither get a blurred image of, we only get a blurred image of him, and we get a blurred image of ourselves. And that's what makes praise and blame to us. And it's the same thing with greed and hate. Now, greed, we want to fulfill it, so we don't never get a picture. We don't even get a clear picture or clear shot of what is going to happen in because we are pulled up by greed and we are pulled down by hate. So we don't actually know what is going on. Now if we would be mindful, if we would be mindful and not reacting, you know, just sticking to our Buddha or sticking to our object of investigation or sticking to the breath, then we would get a very, very clear shot of what is going on. And that's why we're constantly in the mist. In the mist, you know, when we sway, when you're in the water, you know, and then you throw the water up and down, you know. You see what is beyond the water now. You're in the mist of things. Only what you see is nothing clear. So don't throw the water up or don't throw the water down, you know, and you will see very clearly. You get a very clear shot. So whatever people say, you know, don't let it affect you. And if it happens, if it really happens that that person says something, you know, we haven't seen within ourselves, then be grateful for that. And remedy immediately. You know, we are not in a way that we can judge ourselves completely. So we need to look in the mirror of the world, you know, to see ourselves much more clearly. Huh? We do use mirrors, don't we? Don't we? We do use them, you know, to see ourselves clearly. But of course, you know, we don't want to see some certain things we don't want to see. So there are people, you know, who are very helpful on our way of practice and show us these things. So be grateful, you know, and then just accept and remedy the things that are in there. And once you remedy all the things that are in your heart, then you get a clear shot of everything. People don't know it. That's why they still react. They don't know it. You know what is a free heart. They can't pull it up with praise and they can't pull it down with blame. They don't understand it because they are full of greed and they are full of hate. And they think if it works for them, then it has to work for us, isn't it? That's what we think, and that's why we react, and that's how we act. Whatever happens to us, whatever makes us feel down, we will tell the other person because we don't like his face. Huh? And because it works for us, we hope it works for him. But that is not necessarily true. It's the same thing, you know, when we hear, for instance, you know, we hear that somebody, Vasanicha Mahapur says, you know, some person X and some person Y says something about you, but you don't hear it. Then a person Z comes to you and tells what person X and Y told about you, you know, and you get completely infuriated. You get pissed off, you know. If that person said wouldn't have told you, you know, you would still react to person X and Y, you know, in the same manner. Yeah? Now, for instance, if you have a very good friend, for the last 5 or 10 or 15 years, you know, you have a very good friend, you're very close to him, you completely trust him, and then now today, you know, another friend comes up and says, you know, what this friend told you about. That he said very bad things about you. It instantly changes your relation to that friend. Isn't it? What has that to do with? Just because, you know, we have the relation because we think this relation is good. And then somebody else comes and destroys it. Within an instant. A 20-year-long relationship is instantly destroyed. Or we might even hear, you know, that in the past, you know, we can't even remember. In the past he has tormented us. Or did something very bad to us. But it was so early on, you know, that we forgot it. And now we hear it. 20 years later we hear it. And we completely get upset. So what has it to do, you know, whatever is happening right now is happening right now. Always remember the 5 khandhas are still there. So what is there? What has it to do with these things? Feeling is there. The body is there. Memory and association is there. Consciousness is there. Thought is there. That's all what it is. But we instantly get upset by I mean, if you see that so clearly, don't you want to change anything? Don't we want to change anything that we are free of this burden? It doesn't really matter, does it? That happened in the past, it is long, long gone, yeah? This friend of ours, you know, who did that unto us, you know, he has forgotten it and we have forgotten it. And now it is pulled up in the present moment and then we are getting very angry and our friend does not understand why we get so angry. Because he has forgotten it and we have forgotten it, you know, and it is already long, long time ago. But now, of course, our whole view or whole opinion of this person has changed. Just because somebody came, sneaked in into our mind and said something bad. And he ruined our whole day, he ruined our whole month, he ruined our whole life. Just because of this one. Are we really willing to let that happen? Are we really willing to do that? To let this happen? To constantly let this happen to us? It's not happening only one time in our life. It's constantly happening. Just that what I said with blaming and praise, you know, it's constantly happening to us. And it's constantly throwing us up in the air or down in the hell. Are we really willing to put up with it? Or are we just, you know, blank it out, you know, and become, I don't care. It's just the same attitude, you know, no, I don't care, you know, it's just closing my eyes. I don't want to see. A person who doesn't care, you know, is a person who has no feelings, who has no sensitivity at all. If he has blocked off everything with a wall, or with black glasses, or dark glasses, or green glasses, or whatever glasses he wears, you know, he doesn't see it. Because he doesn't want to see it, because it's so painful to see it. That's why he says, I don't care. It's too painful to see it. That's why I don't care. Of course he cares. But he just pretends not to care. Because it's hurting him so much. And what is it hurting, you know? What is that, what is actually going in, you know? Look at this error that is coming into the heart and poisoning. Look to this error, you know, and then reflect upon what is happening right now, yeah? Am I still breathing? Yes, I'm still breathing. Is my arm still there? Yes, my arm is still there. Or is my leg still there? So what has changed? Nothing has changed. I'm still breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. So what has changed? Nothing has changed. We think something has changed. We just think that something has changed. And we're completely upset. We're completely upset with these things. Or we completely go, you know. If somebody says, you know, you're a good person, you can run for president. Then we're going to do that. And then we fail, you know. And then, of course, you blame that person who said it. We don't blame ourselves. So I want you to take this, what I just said, and reflect about it very carefully. It's the one trigger, it's the one arrow that constantly poisons our heart. Reflect about our life very carefully, if we are willing to let this happen. Are we really willing to let this happen? If yes, you know, I can't help you. If no, you know, just be at the present moment and see, you know. Each moment, you know, there comes a breath in and there goes a breath out. That's all what is really happening. There's a feeling, there's a pleasant feeling, or there's an unpleasant feeling coming into our sense. There's the sense contactors of the six senses, of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking. That's all what is happening. A thought arises, or a touch arises, or a sight arises, or we hear something, or something like that. That is the only thing that is real. And what do we make out? We make out a whole drama. We make a whole drama out of it, huh? And nothing actually has happened. Just one more breath and just one more in-breath and one more out-breath and one more feeling. Anicca, anatta, dukkha. That's all. That's all what is happening. But we are pulled, you know, we are swayed, you know. So, please take that for your consideration. Or take it into consideration when you practice. And look at the things, look at your defense mechanism and look at the rectification. And investigate the rectification. Why do I need to justify something? What I'm doing or what I'm thinking or what I'm memorizing. Why do I need to rectify? Why do I need to defend? What do I need to defend? What is there to defend? What is there to justify? Am I not sure of what I'm doing? And then don't do it. It's so simple. Okay, and with this I stop. Yeah, wonderful.